Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. I know this one's going to hurt some people. It's going to hit them right in the feels. Here it is, Chris Tannehill.
Okay, Russ, for the score in Chicago. The Danny Parkin Show.
Least helpful local talk show host, Danny Parkin.
Afternoons on the Score.
And without further ado, we're very, very proud to introduce John Lester, the newest member of the Chicago Cubs.
I just believed in the plan these guys have. It felt like the right fit for us at the right time.
Strike three call. Strikeout number 1,500 for John Lester.
You know, hopefully World Series to come.
Lester knocks down his 14th strikeout victim of the day.
That's a trick, that step off and hold the ball. He's not going to throw to first base.
The fans are shocked as well here in Wrigley.
I faced him quite a bit in my career, and I got to tell you, there's no tougher competitor. John Wayne personality just comes at you all day long.
Strike three call, two down. Lester making some clutch pitches.
Deep left center for John Lester. He's got it! A home run!
Oh, they're John really gonna dance.
Lester!
I'm one hell of a people person. I got to go out there and shake hands and take pictures. That should be interesting. I told him it really didn't mean that much to me. I didn't want to take a picture. So
Lester is going to bunt. It's out in front of the plate. Here comes Hayward. He scores. Cubs win. Cubs win. John Lester with a beautiful bunt.
Zobris has it. Cubs win. It's dramatic.
Strike three ball. Cubs win. John Lester goes all the way and beats the Giants.
I'm not too concerned about all the other analytic BS.
The Cubs are going to the World Series. The Cubs win the pennant.
Time now for the most valuable player.
Javi Baez. And also John Lester.
I think our guys are young and dumb. Our guys are so cocky that they don't give a You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry.
The moment of truth in the World Series has arrived. It's up to John Lester. Cubs winning a World Series game at Wrigley for the first time since October 8th, 1945.
This right here is why I came here. They convinced me to believe in a 100-loss team.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Obviously, tonight didn't quite go the way I wanted to. Have an empty stadium, not really how I envisioned possibly my last start here. So I'm not going to sit here and say, woe's me. But I didn't think 6 years would go this fast.
And that's that.
Hey, you're so funny, man.
The Danny Parkin Show.
That's what all the kids listen to you, man. You are the best thing on the radio.
Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Nicely done, Tanny. Very much appreciated. Would you like to respond to an allegation on Twitch that you, I don't know if people have heard, a good White Sox fan on the show, you're just really enjoying these Goodfellas treatments for all of these Cubs who are leaving?
I mean, I'm not actually, because as a baseball fan, like, I loved watching John Lester pitch, and I love the idea of, you know, your left-handed guy who does not throw in 100 miles an hour every time, but sort of being the anchor to your pitching staff and leading you to playoff success. And I do look forward to doing those pieces because I like looking back. And last night when the news broke, I couldn't wait to get after it because it was just, you know, what an accomplished career. But it's just it was weird to go back and listen and watch the videos with all the fans and to hear the audio of that bunt walk off and hear, you know, everyone at Wrigley going crazy. It seems like a different world. compared to where we are now. Like, that was like, correct. It was a weird part of it for me, just going back and listening to all that. But, you know, I don't like that the Cubs are shedding all this payroll and getting rid of these guys that were part of the World Series team. As a baseball fan, you know, it's better when both teams in town do well. Like, I want my Cubs fan friends to be happy. So I don't enjoy that they're leaving, but I do enjoy looking back through the years and finding those little moments here or there. So
yeah, I assume that was just a snide little aside from somebody, because if you're actually listening and you're paying attention to Tanny himself, you know he's a baseball fan and a baseball lover, and there's a couple things that had to be in there if you really are talking about the essence of John Lester, and he got him in. One is that walk-off bunt on that Sunday night game against the Mariners, and the other is Tim McCarver saying he's not going to throw over there and Lester doing it, because we lived through that entire emotional saga of Lester's inability to throw to first and being good despite it, and then getting over it, like recovering from it and figuring out how to deal with it. So that stuff had to be there. What is it, Parkins, about these moves right now? All of them, I know I'm prone to symbolism and giving baseball perhaps more meaning than it deserves, but every single time the Cubs make one of these moves or somebody leaves or somebody signs, it feels so heavy and so emblematic of the changing times and just like this incredibly obvious demarcation point we're at here. As Jed Hoyer enters the first year of a 5-year plan, he's got plenty of time to get this thing in a different place. It's ugly. It is ugly what is happening to this roster and what messages are being sent to this fan base. Frankly, during the course of this offseason, it is downright ugly.
Yeah, so I'll address the Lester part of it first, because the fan in me wishes that he would have had a better ending. But realizing that the expression, if things didn't end poorly, they wouldn't end, is usually true. There's very few guys who get to have the David Ross send-off, the John Elway send-off, right? Like the perfect punctuation, the perfect ending. It ended poorly for so many great athletes and so many great people and so many great walks of life and all that stuff that, like, John Lester, from a baseball standpoint, I didn't really want him back. Frankly, like they have a rotation that lacks velocity. He has been nibbling around the edges more and more recently, and I don't think that he is that good anymore from a pure baseball standpoint. But the emotional part of it, he is the best free agent acquisition in the history of the Cubs. He was a perfect leader of that pitching staff and clubhouse. He set the tone, and he meant a lot to the 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019. He meant a lot to all of those Cubs teams with all
every
those
single
wins,
team, every
right?
single
he
one.
All of them, but some more so on production, others more so on the intangible side of it. So, like, he's an all-time Cub. And what I was thinking about was, man, remember how we, like, forgot that it was John Lester's last game potentially at Wrigley Field, and he had to bring it up, and Len Casper was like, yeah, I hadn't even really thought of it, and there were no fans in the stands, and he just like brought it up unsolicited at the press conference afterwards. I'm like, that's the part that sucks, that hopefully they play a full season this year, and hopefully there's fans in the stands. And so then when the Nationals comes to Wrigley, John Lester can get his official goodbye, because like that guy deserves the ovation to end all ovations for what he's done for the Cubs organization the last 6 years. Like, that's where my head was at. Not as much on, damn, I wish they could have paid him $2 million more dollars so he would pitch for the 2021 Cubs, who aren't going to win anything of substance anyway.
Well, they might still win a division. They're going to try and win a division. And the job of the people that are here in terms of maintaining a culture and trying to keep that culture going, he couldn't help you with that. He wanted to be here. The fact that he wanted to be here as well and wanted to ride it out here. Now he goes and he can slide in as a fourth starter in Washington and just be a relaxed cog in their championship wheel and not have to be the man or anything like that. But it's insulting to not make him a legit offer when he has said time and time again he wanted to be here, and then for Abbott to come out last night that the offer was made late and a good $3 million less, that doesn't sit well. That doesn't sit well with me, and I can't imagine it sits well with him. And it's a surprising. I'm surprised that they would go down that way with him and have it feel like this at the end.
And that, to be honest with you, I want a little bit more reporting and information and like firsthand accounts on it, because does that make any sense to you? Given John Lester's relationship with Theo Epstein and as an extension Jed Hoyer, and what we know about Jed as a guy and how much he does care about players and how good of a communicator he is. Like, if Jed Hoyer is as good of a communicator with someone in that position to the media as basically anyone I've ever dealt with in sports. So if he's that good of a communicator to us, don't you think he's a really good communicator to John Lester? Like, it strikes me as very unlikely that, like, they were just late returning a call or late getting an offer in. I know that's what the report that's out there, but I guess I'd like to hear from John Lester specifically that, like, he directly is upset and disgruntled at it before I take that as fact, because that just doesn't strike me as how Jed Hoyer would do business. And personally, I'm much more upset at the Ricketts family and the Cubs for Yu Darvish and Kyle Schwarber than I am John Lester. But that's also partly because I don't fully believe that they would, like, disrespect John Lester on his way out the door. Why would they do that?
Yeah, well, we'll try and do some of that reporting. Let's try and dig around and do some of that reporting. I'll try and do some and find out on our behalf, because I understand. But look how Darvish found out, and then he ironed that out a little bit and said that they were talking to his representative, but Darvish found out he was traded on Twitter. Sometimes when things break down communication-wise, they really do. And let's find out. That is not a guy who should feel any sense of disrespect on the way out the door, John Lester.
I 100% agree with you. Like, that would be ridiculous, and there's no reason for that. And the thing is, man, any one of these moves individually can be explained or rationalized. But what's infuriating is this penny pinching and this crying poor, and it's the collection. It's the sum of the parts. It's, okay, you could have had Kyle Schwarber for, what, $8 million something in arbitration, and he gets $10 million in free agency? So you could have had Kyle Schwarber for $1.5 million mm-hmm. under what the market value ended up being for him, and you can't afford that? That's insulting. That's ridiculous. You should be able to have Kyle Schwarber for less than market value. I don't care if there was the plague on top of the pandemic. You're the Chicago Cubs. You can afford an $8 million slugging left fielder who can hit you 40 home runs. I think there's a baseball reason not to have John Lester. There's not a baseball reason to not have Kyle Schwarber at below market value, and I don't believe that there's a baseball reason to trade Yu Darvish for prospects who are 4 years away. So, like, the totality of the offseason is what's infuriating to me.
There needs to be more in order to get a picture fully painted, because the picture right now is a really ugly one, and the picture is going to test the allegiance of fans. It's going to test the goodwill and the good vibes of a franchise that built them for you. But while they were building those good vibes, they were also building a ton of things in the neighborhood and around the neighborhood that were dependent on a gig economy, on live events, and none of that is happening. And they are feeling the ramifications and acting on the ramifications of that more than just about anybody in baseball.
Danny, who's the left fielder you're talking about that's going to hit 40 home runs?
That the Cubs could afford.
I
was hoping that would be Kyle Schwarber.
You think Kyle Schwarber's a 40 home run guy still? He's never even done it once. You think it's going to be now?
It's coming.
Get out of here. He's a bum.
A bum?
He's not a bum. He got caught in between trying to be everything, trying to be a power hitter and to be a contact hitter.
And a leadoff hitter.
And a leadoff hitter and being a guy who gets on base. They wanted him to do everything, and it's too much to ask of certain people. I'll be interested to see what the Nationals ask him to do, what Dave Martinez asked him to do. Just be a bopper. He might hit 40 home runs. Strike out an extra 20, 30 times, but he might hit 40 home runs.
I like Kyle Schwarber. And I, in my head, I think of him as a guy, frankly, Shane, who's going to hit 50 one day.
Sounds good, Slim Shady.
Okay. Hey, it's a good look for me. Don't you think? I think it is.
You've had really good hair lately. I don't know why you're covering it up. That's what I'm saying.
Because he didn't wash it this morning, is my guess.
I washed it and then had to go out and put on the, because it was cold, and so I put on the hat, and so then the hair was messy, and instead of like getting it wet again and then drying it and then styling it again, I was just like, eh, winter hat day on Twitch. And by the way, Slim Shady, I mean, talented dude. So, you know, takes one to know one is all I'm saying. And if you want me to do the final battle to 8 Mile, Shane, I'd be happy to do it for you. Would not be a problem. Is that something you'd be interested in? It's not a rhetorical question.
Nope. Tanny, you can dump that.
That okay. is something I'm not interested in.
Perfect. Excellent. Good talk. Cody Decker will join us at 3 o'clock. There was something posited about the Cubs, and I want to know, because like I'm not going to sit here and rant and rave and yell about the whole thing. You guys know how I feel. I think it's insulting. And if they're going to say biblical losses and cry poor, until I believe them, the only way that's happening is with transparency. I've been very clear on that. But something was brought up about what they should actually do, and I want to see if you guys think it's going too far. Next on the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries, so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, Tom, just to follow up on that, is it important from kind of a business perspective to kind of have a good product up and running when fans can come back with a TV network in year two? Like if Jed came to you and said, we need to tear it all down, is that something that's on the table as you look forward?
Well, I mean, I would always always take Jed's recommendation on what to do with what happens on the field. But I don't think anybody's tearing anything down. I think the fact is that, you know, we have a good club. I think people are excited to see us back on the field next year. I'm just going to, just like everyone else, just hope that the combination of all the variables that are out there kind of break our way and we can get people in the park as soon as possible.
So that's Tom Ricketts. This is the Danny Parkin Show. Matt Spiegel's in. We'll talk to Cody Decker about the Jarrett Porter firing with the Mets. He's a guy who he recommended and he knows personally, and he spoke in glowing terms about him. And he has been fired for sending lewd text messages to a reporter who has since left the industry when he was an employee of the Cubs. And his wife is Jen Sturger, who is on the receiving end of similar text messages from Brett Favre. She will join us at 5 o'clock today. We're also discussing John Lester being gone and the situation that the Cubs find themselves in, Spiegs, and this idea of, I guess, a lack of funds. It's a weird thing because it's not poverty, right? Like they, no one's claiming they're poor. They're just not willing to spend. And here's the thing that I've always said about the Cubs. Like, I can't call them cheap when they were top five or six in payroll all of those years, right? When they're spending $200 million and no team was going into the luxury tax, like, that always felt reasonable to me as to where the Cubs should be in terms of spending. So as long as they get back to that, this can be a blip on the radar. But what's infuriating to me in the here and now is that they're penny pinching in ways that just don't seem necessary. They don't have a huge payroll for next year. They're not top five. They're not even top 10 in baseball for next year. So in a pandemic, the Cubs are claiming that they're hurt more than everybody else, and they're going to be a league average spending team this year. That just strikes me as wrong. They should never be a middle of the pack payroll team. I refuse to believe that.
Well, I think this goes back to what they truly believe, and I think what Theo believed before he left, that from the cold hard baseball perspective, they're not good enough. And there are snippets of Jed Hoyer's press conference after the Yu Darvish trade that we have played and can look at, where he says he wants to enter the playoffs thinking that they're one of the best two or three teams there and can win it. They don't believe that. They don't believe that. And that's part of not bringing Schwarber back is like, yeah, okay, it could be decent value at $8 or $9 million to do that. But they don't think they're good enough, man. So they're taking a willing step backwards and having some awkwardness as they try to express that and get that across to everybody. And how real can they be? How transparent can they be about that to the bulk of fans to say, we don't think we're quite good enough. So what's the difference if we spend $190 million versus $140 million and we're not quite good enough in either direction? It's the life cycle that they're in right now. And yes, they're choosing to be in that particular life cycle. But part of the choice of being in that life cycle is no fans and not knowing when those fans are going to come back and when the math will make sense again. It's tied into all those things, including the contracts that are ending and the pending free agency and the truth that they're going to have to remake that roster, whether they want to or not, within a couple of years here.
Did you read Gordon Whitmire make the argument that the Ricketts family should sell the team?
I did read that. And Gordon has been dug in and entertaining for a long time in the way that he traffics in debt conversations. He at least claims to have a better understanding of billionaires' debt than anybody who I've ever seen covering a sports franchise.
Here's the thing. It's a compelling column. It's a flamethrower of a column. And it's being written at NBC Sports Chicago, who no longer has a business relationship with the Cubs. We have a business relationship with the Cubs, but no one in management at the Score or the Cubs has ever once came at me or anyone that I know at the radio station in terms of commentary about the team on the field. If you take personal shots at them, that's not something that you're supposed to do to people or business partners or whatever. But if you want to say they're being cheap, they're bad owners, they're a bad team, they're a bad manager, they're bad players, those are all things that we are allowed to say. So I believe that someone at the Score could have written this exact same column that Gordon Whitmire did. I just think I want to see what happens, because we all agree on the first point that you're talking about, that they're not good enough, right? This is, running the same exact team back would be ludicrous.
Okay, well, you know, I almost brought it up last segment when you brought up Schwarber as like this thing. Like, if you believe that they're not good enough, then why bother to spend $8 million on Kyle Schwarber when you've decided he's not going to reach that potential? And if anything, he's part of a lineup that you think is going to fail and has already been failing at the key moments.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I guess when he signs for a lower number than you or a higher number than you could have had him for, then it makes me feel like it's more about money than the baseball side of it. And that's the part that I don't like, moves that seem to be majority motivated by cutting payroll, because I don't believe that the Cubs are in any worse off financial situation than any other team in baseball. That doesn't strike me as logical. Like, yes, they sell more tickets. Okay, I get it. But they also make more money. This is Chicago. They're the third biggest market. They have huge media deals. They get more money from everything, from merchandising, from television, from Gallagher Way, from the bleachers, from the across the street bleachers, the rooftops, from all of it. So I loved how the Ricketts family renovated Wrigley Field and spent money and built a perennial winner. And now that they're tearing it down, I want to know. I want the crystal ball, Spiegs. I want to know if in 2022 the Cubs are going to be back in spending top five in baseball payroll. Because if they are, then this is just a blip on the radar. But if they bought the World Series and then over-leveraged themselves in debt and then are going to be operating like a middle market team for the next decade, then they should sell the team. And that's an infuriating thing. I just don't know which path they're going to go down once this pandemic ends. I truly don't.
That's fair. I think they have told Jed Hoyer that they will be ready to invest when they're good enough. And Jed said that exact thing. When he believes the bones of the team are good enough to be a great World Series contender, then you will see the next investment. That answer was to the question of the next time they sign somebody like the Darvish signing, which was aggressive and adding the payroll that you're talking about. So the way these things have worked, and their idea is absolutely, Danny, to be what the Red Sox and Yankees have been over the past, 10, 15 years, where a couple of times they have taken a breath. They have taken a breath and taken a step backwards and reloaded and restocked and then spent again when the bones of the team made sense to, when they believed that they were good enough to do so. So
I'm fine with that.
Assume that that's the direction that they're going to head. Now, I don't know exactly when that's going to be. It could be when some of their prospects pan out or don't. It could be based on what return they get for an eventual Chris Bryant trade or eventual Wilson Contreras trade and all that. So it'll be up to them to decide and look at it. But I do believe that they will spend again when they think the time is right to build another contender.
Then I think part of what this is just it's a confluence of events. It's frustration at how the last few years have ended. It's frustration that they, manipulated Chris Bryant's service time to get an extra year, and then they're trading guys away for that year where you have him, right? Yeah. It's that all of the dudes performed early.
Hey, man.
So they all thought they were going to get contract extensions, and then they all slumped together late heading into the arbitration years.
You ask the key question, because if all of this was happening next year in the offseason, after Bryant's final year, right, after Baez's final year, and let's say they had done what the Nationals do and just played out the string and went for it and gotten as far as they could. If all of this was happening after next offseason, that would dovetail with exactly what we all thought, was going to be the case. And Theo is gone after his 10 years. It's all happening a year early. It's all happening a year early because pandemic and no fans.
Because they were bad.
Yes.
And because they underperformed collectively.
Yes.
Right?
So the baseball reasons are in there along with the financial reasons. What the percentages are, we can quibble about all of that. 70-30
financial.
Yeah, because
if they would have ripped last year, right, if they would have all been awesome last year and head into this, do you think they're doing all of this? Like, if they thought that on paper the team for 2021 was the second, third best team in the National League, I don't think that they would.
I don't think so, no. I don't think so. And if it hadn't come with, if that playoff flameout hadn't come with the exact same issues by the exact same people that have defined their failings in the past 3 years, then no. But the fact that it was so blatantly obvious that the same problems remained tipped the baseball part of it. Absolutely.
And now they've got a problem of a different variety that we'll address before Cody Decker comes on in 15 minutes on The Score.
Before you decide to say something like, "Well, a lot of women send pictures back of themselves and they don't get in trouble for it," or you try to justify this, I'm just telling you right now, you're exposing yourself. likely for the second time, at least.
Good line from Layla Rahimi on the Bernstein and Rahimi show earlier today. It's the Danny Parkin Show, Matt Spiegel in. We'll talk to Cody Decker coming up in 10 minutes. So Jared Porter gets fired for sending 62 consecutive text messages without a response, including some lewd pictures and graphic images of himself, allegedly, and all of that. And that was after some back and forth that was also inappropriate with a foreign reporter who was covering the Cubs, who has since left the country and left the industry. And man, my first thought is it's crazy how many times these stories happen. And I obviously can't put myself in the position of being on the receiving end of an unwanted, unsolicited picture like that and like what that would mean. The other thing is, like, dude, take a hint. 62 text messages without a response is a level of creepiness and desperation and like lack of awareness to read the room that I just can't even relate to. Like, it comes across as pathological, Speaks, when I read those text messages and I read that story. Like, what? 62 text messages without an answer? How do you get to the point of, like, you know what? On the 54th, I'm throwing the Hail Mary of little Jared Porter. Like, it's just ridiculous that he would think that he would do that and that would be okay.
The desperation is right. So, let's see. You desperately want to hook up with somebody, anybody, and you're unable to do it in traditional ways without trying to use the power inequity that you have in this baseball scenario. Because there's a power inequity at the very beginning. It's just so incredibly obvious. But I'm glad you set the demarcation point of after the back and forth. It's when he kept going and kept going and kept going with those 62 unanswered messages. There's a point in there where you realize the entitlement. It's like a mix of entitlement,
of course,
and desperation. And the desperation personally to be somebody who doesn't think that there's any other way that he could meet somebody, and the entitlement that it's okay, that it's all right to just keep going. And the story, incredibly well reported by Jeff Passan and Mina Kimes, shows you why that entitlement was there. Because when the employee went to her and said, look, he wants to apologize in person, the employee says, use this to your advantage. So that's the usual outcome, is that somebody is so understanding and or complicit in their role in it as a female, and if not complicit, just understanding and resigned to what their role is. Because rather than out somebody and then lose the source and lose a whole network of sources, they're advised, flat out advised, to play the game that is the usual end game. Use this to your advantage and world goes round. And that part is so dispiriting, isn't it? That's the way most of them are resigned to have to live the end of this.
Well, and now it's a challenge for Jed Hoyer, because this happened not under his watch, but it happened with the Cubs. And reportedly, that employee who made that recommendation is also no longer with the Cubs. But he's going to have to do, correctly, some due diligence and some cleaning up of workplace culture, reinforcing sexual harassment allegations, what happens in types of harassment situations. That person's not supposed to say, by any sort of HR training, like, I've just completed, you know, we have annual or biannual things that you get in your work emails, like, you got to do this corporate training. If someone reports something like that to you, there's an obligation for you to report it to a superior and or HR. And so, like, I don't know exactly what the specifics of the Cubs situation is in that dynamic, but the job isn't, hey, let's go meet in the lobby and get an apology and then you can use this to your advantage. Like, that's not in any sort of HR manual.
No, so, of course not. But so often it's like somebody trying to clean up the mess. And we've seen this play out in the entertainment industry and obviously in a million other places. Somebody is sent to try and clean up the mess and avoid lawsuit, avoid public scandal, and avoid the ruination of careers. And almost always it's the ruination of the male superior's career that they're trying to avoid.
Correct. And you feel terrible for this woman who's just a language barrier, a cultural barrier in a country where she's unfamiliar, trying to start out in a new career and gets taken advantage of almost instantly. Like, it's a very, very sad story. And we don't even have a name or a face to put to it because she didn't want to. And she was fearing retribution in her own country if this type of publicity came out. So, like, that's the other part of it where it's just, talk about a victim. Like, it's just, your heart breaks for this person who you don't even know when you read this story. So Jared Porter lost his job, but this woman lost something much more personal than that. Like, she lost a career, her place in this country, a sense of identity, and she still doesn't feel comfortable putting her name on it. So just like something that, like, I personally can't imagine the pressure and what that would feel like.
I really appreciated the column from Maddie Lee over at NBC Sports Chicago.
It was very good.
Wasn't it? Yeah, she said she had thoughts all night long and kept writing them down, and eventually it turned into a column. She's not usually a columnist, but she wrote about, you know, how many times women reporters, they wait for that point where it goes over the line, because the job is to develop relationships, is to text people, is to dig for stories and create friendships. Hell, that's our job sometimes, Danny, with these guys that we meet or these people that we meet who are on the inside. We develop those relationships. So, of course, these female reporters are there. But then if one of their sources goes over the line and says, like Maddie Lee wrote, you're beautiful, or do you have a boyfriend, then what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to set the proper boundary and theoretically not lose the person as a source, which is your job to do? And it's an incredibly difficult thing to navigate that you or I do not have to navigate and never have.
So Jen Sturger was on the receiving end of this in a very high-profile way from Brett Favre. She will join us to tell her story and how this story made her feel at 5 o'clock. Her husband, our friend Cody Decker, recommended Jared Porter for the job. So he knows the ramifications on it from being married to Jen Sturger, and he knows Jared Porter. Cody Decker will give us his perspective next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.